In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. We just read the three parables during Vespers for the Ascension, and they spell out, really, the three great meanings of this feast. Certainly two of the meanings very clearly, and one with perhaps a little interpretation. The Feast of the Ascension is about the exaltation of human nature. Human nature being raised up. That's what it means to see Christ raised up into the heavens, because He is God and man, and in His flesh He was raised up. So it's a prophecy of what will happen to us. The services are just full of this reference, this idea. Very critically important. Also, the sending of the Holy Spirit. Because He had said to His disciples before His crucifixion that if He does not go, the Comforter would not come. So, after Christ ascended, the Holy Spirit was sent. And of course we know that it was sent 10 days later on Pentecost. Also, the ascension is a reminder and a prophecy of the judgment. Because we see in the Acts, which is really the quintessential source text from the Scriptures about the ascension, even more than the Gospel, it's more descriptive than the Gospels are. The angel says, "Why are you staring up into heaven? He will come again in the same way that you have seen Him." So He will come over the Mount of Olives in glory and majesty, as the icon shows. In fact, the icon, if you notice, it's hard to tell, is He coming or going in this icon? He's just suspended in midair. And there's a reason for that. Because our Lord will come back in the same way that He went up. So, let's look at the Old Testament readings and see how they talk about these themes, especially the one about the exaltation of human nature and about the sending of the Holy Spirit. So, the first reading. Thus saith the Lord, in the last days the mountain of the Lord shall be manifest, and the house of God shall be on the summits of the mountains. Now, of course, this is poetic language, but the mountain of the Lord is Mount of Olives. Because it says, skipping a little bit, "Come, let us ascend to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will tell us His way, and we will walk in it." This is referring metaphorically to the ascension from the Mount of Olives. That's why it's in this reading. By the way, many of us were Protestants, and we learned the ideas, principles of scriptural exegesis, right? And generally, the first principle of exegesis is, let the Scripture interpret Scripture. Alright? Alright, that's true. But also, the Church wrote the Scripture. So, when you see Scriptures in a certain place, that helps you with the interpretation of them. This mountain of the Lord must be the Mount of Olives. Why else would we have had sanctified the reading of it countless hundreds of millions of times, perhaps, during the Ascension service? So, the place in which Scripture is read, the context in which it is read in terms of the feast that's celebrated or the doctrine that's being expounded, tells you a lot about what the Scripture means. Now, that's something that only the Orthodox can have, because we have this marvelous tradition of celebrating the services with the events of our Lord's life largely in mind. Really, other places, other churches will talk about the Ascension, but they won't have a special service for it. It won't really be part of their calendar. Well, it's part of our calendar. And therefore, we read these services, and we read these Old Testament readings and the New Testament readings every single year. And the more you read them and stand in prayer and listen to them, the more they just go into the fiber of your being, and you understand them. It's a process. It's not something that happens instantaneously. It's not something that happens from study. It's something that happens from worship. That's why it's so important to be present to hear the Scriptures read in the church services. Because they are living and alive. And when you hear them in the services, they eventually change you. That is, if you're listening. If you're struggling. And okay, you can tell me that a lot of times you don't listen. I don't listen sometimes too. But you know what? If you're at 20 vigil services and you listen to 1/20th of each service, probably by in 20 years you've heard the whole thing. Huh? So it's important to come to the services and to try to listen. Let's go to the second reading. Because the second reading is very interesting. And we'll just skip to one portion of it where it talks about, who is this that has come from Edom with red garments from Bosar, so fair in his apparel? Edom means red. It's speaking about the Lord, who is a man. Red meaning blood. And the scripture is expounding and speaking in wonderment that a man, human being with blood in his veins, could ascend to heaven. And at the end of this reading, it says, not as an ambassador nor as an angel, but the very Lord himself saved them. Does anybody recall this? You should. It's in the communion canon, isn't it? It's in the canon. That's the earmost of one of the odes. And it says that the Lord himself saved them because he loved them and spared them. He himself redeemed them and took them up and lifted them up for all the days of eternity. Now, what do you think that means? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? We're celebrating the ascension. This reading is about the ascension. Now, here's another principle of scriptural exegesis. If something's important, it's spoken of a lot in the Old Testament. The resurrection is important. It's spoken of in the Old Testament. The cross, baptism, the ascension, the sending of the Holy Spirit, the bringing in of the Gentiles, all those things and many more things besides are spoken of a lot in the Old Testament. And what is the primary type of the ascension in the Old Testament? Elijah. Elijah rising up in the chariot. Human flesh going up into the heavens. He is the type of the ascension. And it was fulfilled in our Lord ascending. But when our Lord ascended, he made human flesh completely capable of ascending. Elijah ascended by God's grace. Jesus Christ ascended by his own power. And he changed our nature so that we can ascend too. Elijah pointed to the mystery, but the mystery is our Lord, the one with red garments from Edom, ascending as a man and making our flesh able to ascend. Now the other reading from Zacharias brings in the idea of the coming of the Holy Spirit after the Lord's ascension. It says explicitly, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and his feet shall stand that day on the Mount of Olives. So where did the Lord ascend from? Well, it's kind of obvious. We know he ascended on the Mount of Olives. Of course, it said so in the... it says it in Acts, I believe. It might also say it in Luke. I'm not sure. I don't remember. And then it goes on and says, and in that day, living water shall come forth from Jerusalem, half of it toward the former sea, and half of it toward the latter sea. Which sea are we? The latter sea. We're the Gentiles. The bringing in of the Gentiles, the sending of the Holy Spirit to the whole church, prophesied as something that follows the ascension. And then if you interpret a little bit, you can really see that Scripture often speaks of something, and then the next thing that it speaks of is in the future or in the past. And then it says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and in that day all shall be one Lord, and his name one compassing all the earth, and it goes on. The judgment. The Lord will come and he'll be Lord over everyone. And it'll be manifest to everyone. And he will come in glory, just as he left the earth in glory. Only a few people saw him leave. Just the disciples, the Theotokos, perhaps some of the his faithful, the women that followed him, and some of the 70. But in the last judgment when He comes. Everyone will see Him in glory, and every knee shall bow, because the Lord is manifest to everyone. So these readings are important because the beauty of Scripture, one of the beauties, is it doesn't go out and just say it flat out, like as if an outline, like a PowerPoint slide. No, it has to be gleaned from worship and from familiarity. So perhaps the next time you hear these readings, they'll jump out at you. And it'll really touch you that it says about, who is this man from Bosor with blood-red garments? Meaning, how can it be that flesh can be united with God? It can be, because God wants it to be so. And He made it to be so through the agency of His Son, who was able to make it so. So that's just a little bit about the Old Testament readings. The Psalms have many other prophecies too. So listen closely. You'll hear some of the Psalm verses that are said today and also tomorrow in the antiphons for liturgy that are specifically about the ascension. How do we know this? Well, because they're part of the ascension service and because the mind of the church knows this. This is a great gift that we have, brothers and sisters. We should not squander it. The way you learn it, you can get books. You can buy the Pentecostarian, and you can buy the Erdman series, and you can do all this and spread it all out on a big table or have it all on your computer. But you won't learn it that way. You'll learn some of it. The way you'll learn it is standing in prayer and the Holy Spirit touching you with the words being said. And, of course, by your struggles. If you're not struggling to live a Christian life, it's going to be like somebody speaking, you know, in Boolean algebra or something. And you won't understand it. It'll be too complex for you. So, may God help us in all things to understand and to live in the reality of what the ascension means for us. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through His grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.